Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Toll, and thanks for tuning in to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. Got another great show planned for you today. It's Wellness Wednesday, and special guest in the studio today, we're going to have Miss Carla Turan. She's the founder and creator of Fifth Dimension Clothing. It's all about creating beautiful clothing, okay, that's crafted with sustainable, organic, and upcycled fabric. We're going to talk about that, upcycled fabric. She's all about reducing the footprint of the carbon on the planet, which is pretty cool. We talked about that earlier in the week, right? How do we save the planet? And Leonardo DiCaprio had that speech over at the UN as well. Well, I also want to introduce you to a new member of the Tola Talks team. Say hello to Joanna Mantilla is here today.
Oh, you got my last name right. Hi.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for coming in. Yeah, Joe's going to be here from time to time as well. And speaking of new team members, for any of you ladies out there, we're always on the lookout for some fresh talents for anyone with social media skills. Perhaps put you on the air. Email us at info@richtola.com. You guys know how to spell that. So, yeah, check it out if you're interested. Love to hear from you. And I also want to thank yesterday's special guest. We had a lot of fun yesterday talking love and relationships with expert Jennifer Gaynor Yaker. So check it out in the archives. You know the archives, latalkradio.com/tola.php for the personal homepage. So, you know, Joe, we like to get started with the show by going around the globe with some stories here, right?
That's great.
Yeah, let's see what we got going. This one's actually a cool one, calling this Lucky Hiker. Like this. This is takes place in Odessa, Texas. Happy ending. We like these happy endings, right, Joe?
Yes. Everything about happiness sounds good to me.
It's all good. So this is about a 19-year-old gal, Kista Franco. She's recovering in Odessa Hospital after she was stranded on a Fort Davis mountainside. Mm. Now, what are we talking about here? Check it out. One of her friends, it's kind of interesting. They were hiking. There were a couple friends hiking, and they were kind of checking out a cave. They were going to go into this cave, and then she slid on the rock, and she fell down. She fell about 15 feet, and wow. Said she caught herself, halfway. So it looks like it was a pretty far drop. Yeah, she caught herself, and then one friend hiked back up to call for help, but then rain and fog prevented an airlift rescue. So this woman was there for 30 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, 30 hours, covered herself with blankets, rain pouring down. She said she kept thinking about her mom and how worried her mom was. Yeah, that's kind of cool. I think that kept her thinking positive.
Right. I think that if you're in those moments, you know, you think about everything around
like
you.
Like your life is flashing
ones.
Before.
Yeah. She's lucky that she had a friend with her.
Yeah, she had a friend with her, and it worked out. I think she had two friends with her. But, you know, this worked out. That's a good story. I'd like to hear that. Hey, way to hang in there. Kista, good job, and get well soon. You're recovering. That's all good news. Second story here. Yeah, this isn't as good. This is Ebola on the rise, we're calling that. Everybody knows the virus, right? The Ebola virus that's now, by the way, in 5 countries. Wow. Now, what are we talking about here? This is dangerous, no doubt. The number of Ebola cases in Liberia and Sierra Leone could rise, check it out, between 550,000 to 1.4 million by January if there are no additional interventions or changes in community behavior. Now, this is reported by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, right? They came out with a report yesterday. And, this is serious stuff because they say really that the current count is highly underreported. You know, the death toll from Ebola in West Africa, climbed over 2,800 in the past 6 months, and they're thinking they have 5,800 new cases. This is reported by the World Health Organization. Serious stuff, people. Already in 6 months into the outbreak, you know, the outbreak was in March. You can read about this on the internet, sure. There was 337 healthcare workers who were infected. 181 died. Uh-huh. You know, Joe, when you're a healthcare worker, I mean, yeah, of course you put your life in danger, but you're not thinking you're going to be dying. Now, we're talking right now. The CDC came out and said if 70% of people with Ebola are properly cared for in medical facilities, because that's really the problem here. We're talking about countries with not such great medical facilities. They said the epidemic could decrease and eventually end, right? Now, here's what the CDC is blaming this on. They're blaming the spread of this deadly virus on, and I quote, a combination of dysfunctional health systems, international indifference, high population mobility, local customs, right, in these densely populated capitals, right, and the lack of trust in authorities after years of armed conflict. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tricky there, you know. You're talking viruses. I mean, they're in five countries. We do not want them, obviously, coming here.
Right.
But this is something to be concerned about. I mean, we've had viruses before. I mean, do you know any healthcare workers that actually are in sort of high-risk environments?
No, not at this time. I really don't know anybody. But okay. I will be very concerned for everybody. It's kind of scary.
It is scary. So hopefully, you know, things can get better over there. They get the proper care. I mean, that's really what it's all about. And then they're doing some new tests. I watched the video this morning. I think it was CNN had something about, like, they're going to be doing some tests on some new vaccines. But, you know, there's a trial period, and it takes a little bit of time, 6 months to a year, to get this out there. But, you know, just be aware that, you know, there are people suffering out in the world in other countries for viruses that hopefully will be ending soon. All right, let's move on. This is the third story here. We're calling this Hoax Away. All right, everybody hear this. You know Emma Watson. She's the, you know, the Harry Potter.
Yeah,
like Harry Potter.
Yes, love
her. I like her. Yeah, she's good. Now, there was a threat. This is kind of interesting, and it gets a little complicated, but we'll clear it up for you. It was a threat to release nude photos of actress Emma Watson. But really, what was it? It was an attempt to start a viral marketing campaign to shutter the site 4chan. It's site 4chan.com. You know, I went to this site. Have you ever gone to that site?
No, no idea what it
is. Yeah, I have no idea what it was either, but it doesn't look like it's a site where photos can go viral. But they did say that this is the site where, remember, Jennifer Lawrence, Kim Kardashian, mm-hmm. Gabrielle Union, all the celebrities that recently had their private intimate photos splashed across the internet, they said this 4chan site is where they hacked the nude photos, the stars initially appeared. Again, I went there. I don't know. Maybe they're changing up. But, you know, this is all because Emma gave an impassioned speech last weekend at the UN. I love the UN. They're bringing in these stars. And she faced a backlash, including threats to leak alleged nude photos of the star. But really, what was it about? Well, by the way, there was no evidence that nude photos of Watson actually existed. None whatsoever. But really, again, what was this about? So, you know, Watson gives a speech, and it's about equality and embracing feminism. I mean, she talked Saturday as part of her role. She's a goodwill ambassador for the UN Women. And she drew attention for her poignant remarks about the need for equality and for men to embrace feminism. But I think what it was, you know, it was like a hoax to shut this down. Because this 4chan, it's an online message board. I mean, that's how it's described. It's kind of become known as the place where pranksters had previously posted these hoaxes. So, you know, it's kind of strange. You know, all these sites now with everything going viral. But what I found most important here, and I listened to the speech from Emma Watson, and I want to read this to you because it really was a hoax to shut this thing down. That's kind of spreading things. So it's kind of interesting. It sort of flips it. But let me read you this because I think she's on point, and I want to get your opinion on this, Joe.
Okay.
She says, if men don't have to be aggressive in order to be accepted, women won't feel compelled to be submissive. If men don't have to control, women won't have to be controlled. Both men and women should feel free to be sensitive. I agree with that. Both men and women should feel free to be strong. It's time that we all perceive gender as a spectrum, not as two opposing sets of ideals.
Wow.
It's pretty serious stuff. I mean, really what she's saying is, yeah, let's forget about the men versus women. It's like, hey, we're all human beings. We talk about that all the time, about not only saving the planet, but being respectful to other human beings. And I think, I mean, whether it's transgender, male, female, it doesn't really matter. Gay, straight, I mean, anybody should have the right to be sensitive on any issues whatsoever and then be yourself, because this is what this is about, right?
Yeah, she's a very smart young woman. How old is she? About 21 or so?
Yeah, I think she's early 20s. I mean, she's, well, you're in your 20s, right?
I wish.
You look like you're in your 20s.
I know. It's my mom, my jeans. They're great.
I like that. Yeah, it seems
Hispanic,
like
Hispanic Latin jeans.
The Hispanic Latin jeans. No,
Yay.
You have good jeans.
Thank you.
You got a lot of good energy, too.
Thank you.
No, she's a young woman who's out there. And, you know, I love that the fact that these celebrities are taking a stand, and like Leonardo DiCaprio about the climate. I mean, they're making a difference. Because they're highly profiled, there's no doubt that they can make a difference. People listen.
Yes.
So if you're out there, take a listen to what Emma Watson has to say. No doubt it's definitely can shed some light on equality issues, and that's what that's about. But let's move on. This story here. I don't know. This, I couldn't believe. This was kind of funny. All right. I'm calling this Shame on You.
Oh, God.
Nah, you don't know where we're going.
Yeah, All right.
Let's see where we're going first. I want to first give a shout out to my friend Erica, who's a flight attendant, because this involves flight attendants. And some particular antics here. It's kind of interesting. Let's talk about this. There's a former flight attendant. Now, this is not her real name. It's a fake name. Sean Kathleen. She goes by Sean Kathleen, former flight attendant. She set up a passenger. This is kind of cool. A passenger shaming website where photos are submitted anonymously by passengers and flight attendants.
That's interesting.
Interesting. About like what stupid shit that people do.
Wow.
Yeah, like,
what do they do?
What do they do? Well, we're going to go. The five most, she says... Here we go. Five most unaccepted in-flight behaviors revealed by Sean, Miss Kathleen over there, and experts, whatever the hell experts mean. But there's this one word that resonates. It's all about disrespect. Now, this is what she ranks as the five. And, you know, we've probably seen all five. Number one, guess what the number one is?
Mm.
Going barefoot. It's like, you don't want to be taken on a flight.
On a flight?
Yeah. She said, number one, she goes, you don't want to have your bare feet on the back of a seat. You got smelly feet. Mm. You know, the first thing that comes to mind, right? Everybody's seen the movie. You've seen the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with John Candy and Steve Martin?
No.
Oh, my God. Joe, we're talking. Hey, I'm a big film connoisseur here. We're going to get you in the program here. Okay. No, this is one of the best films. This, to me, gets a 3, by the way. You know, we go the 1, 2, 3 thumbs up for Movie Mondays. We're not reviewing that film. That film, it's a holiday film. This is a perfect time of year. One of my favorite films. I mean, this is the funniest. Well, John Candy, there's a scene with him and Steve Martin in the plane, and he's sitting next to him, and he takes his socks off, and he's, you know, and he's whipping his socks around, and Steve Martin's like, you got to see that. That movie is hilarious.
All right, let me write that down. Hold on.
You better write that down. So no going barefoot, people. It's not, it's really number one on the list. Number two, this I think should be number one on the list, because this is disgusting. Nail clipping.
Oh, on an airplane?
Yeah, she said once. Well, this is crazy. She said that happens. That's happened several, many occasions, I guess. And who the hell is clipping their nails on a plane? Especially not your toenails, right?
Oh, that is disgusting.
It's disgusting.
That was number two. The bathroom of your house.
Yeah, she made reference to doing it in your living room. She talks about this one passenger. No, not nails, but she said was treating their warts with Compound W on the flight. That's kind of a little funky,
special.
But yeah, I mean, putting a little dab on you, go into the lavatory, right?
At least,
all these things, it's like, well, I'm not taking your bare feet, but do not be
Common
clipping
sense,
your nails.
People.
Nah, don't be clipping your nails. Now, this is number three. Fortunately, you don't have any children, right?
No.
No, me neither. Changing dirty diapers on the tray table in front of you. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. I guess I can believe that.
I mean, see it happening, you know.
Well, here's what she said. She said these tables don't get wiped down after every flight. Now I'm thinking about that. It's you got to put your food. I don't know, carry
my wipes around when I
You better carry your wipes because, you know, you got to use the lavatory. They have changing tables in the lavatory. Every restroom now does so. People, don't be changing your dirty diapers on the table in front of you because you got to beware that table is going to be used by the next guy on the connecting flight. Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's
common
number
sense,
three.
People.
Common sense. You know, most people, they don't always use common sense. There's a lot of dopey people out there. I call them chuckleheads. Here we go. Number four. This one's kind of interesting. Eating smelly food and littering. And there's pictures of people like just with all things on the seat. It's pretty disgusting. She said, she said every passenger should have an obligation to limit offensive odors like anchovies. And so if you're bringing anchovies on the plane, which by the way, don't they have those tin cans? I mean, if you're bringing anchovies, that means you took it out of that can. It's got to be smelly. Come on, people. Don't eat the smelly food. You buy the food. Okay, if you can't eat the food that's on the plane. But nowadays, they have what? The vegetarian. They have different types of maybe gluten-free now. I mean, there's a lot of...
They have a lot of choices.
A lot of choices on the plane. So if you're bringing in smelly food, beware, right? That should... forget about it. Don't do it. Now, number five. Oops. I don't know on this one. This was a tricky one. I'm not sure if you've ever done this. Don't ask me if I've ever done this. Sex on the plane. The Mile High Club.
Okay, hold on. Have you done this?
Well, you know, that's one of those relative questions. You know, what's defined as sex? I remember back in the Bill Clinton days, you know, I did not have sex with that woman. Oh. I'm not sure. It says under blankets in the lavatory. check this out on the site. I mean, there was a photo of an unwrapped used condom under a seat. Now, that's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
That's disgusting. Now, you know, she did say, if you're not bothering anybody and nobody knows of it and it's a whatever. I don't know, people. I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about that one. The Mile High Club, if you are a member of the Mile High Club, hopefully you did it in the lavatory when it was an overnight flight and you're not causing commotion or in your seat. That's a little trickier, I guess.
Oh, those restrooms are just... way too small, though. How do you get two people in there? I always wonder about that because I go in there and I can barely fit.
You can barely fit. Well, they get two people in there. So, you know, I don't know. Well, that was a kind of cool one. Those are top, you know, the top five. Well, that's going to move us right into our Get Your Shit Together award. You know, we have a Get Your Shit Together award every day, giving it to the person who, or the company or a group of people that really need to get their shit together. And, you know, Joey did a 30-episode podcast. It's called Get Your Shit Together. And kind of cool episodes. And I'm going to reference a couple of these at the end. But this one for sure, kind of interesting because it's not involving alcohol. Typically, they are. It's a bozo yesterday in Honolulu, in Maui.
Yes.
You know, you heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so most of these are, remember the Palin family with the brawl, and everybody was all boozed up. Well, this takes place. It's a celebrity from Modern Family, actress Sarah Hyland, asked for a restraining order against her ex-boyfriend. Okay, now here's the jackass who gets the Get Your Shit Together award. Matthew Prokop. He's an actor as well, okay? Well, Hyland's 23 years old. She said, she's adorable, by the way. She said, his grip was so tight that I could not breathe or speak, okay? I was scared for my life. Okay, this guy, Prokop, relentlessly bombarded me with vile, threatening, and emotionally disturbing texts and voicemails, including his own suicide threats. Okay, now what the hell is this guy thinking? She met the guy. They were both auditioning for Disney's High School Musical. And that was about 5 years ago. Well, they dated for 5 years. So she dated this guy, and they split last month, and the guy kind of lost it. Hey, you can't lose it, kids. People out there, you got to go listen to these episodes. Number 7, my Get Your Shit Together. It's called Gist, G-Y-S-T, with Rich Toll. Number 7 is Take Out the Machete. So hopefully she took out the machete and got rid of this guy. If it's a bad, you got to get rid of it. You just got to, well, 5 years later. But I wonder if this guy was aggressive along the way. Number 14 episode was Don't Be a Creep. And this guy, it's creepy. You can't be doing suicide threats. That's all bullshit. He's getting her to respond. I mean, do you ever have a guy who turned out to be like a lunatic? Or
I can't recall anybody being a lunatic. I've had guys that call me a little bit too much, and that scares me away a little bit.
What about texting? Are they like an obsessive with that?
I was on a dating site.
On a dating site?
Yes.
That means in that past tense?
I was. No longer. It was kind of scary. I don't like dating sites. It's just not me. Not my type. Hmm. But this guy was texting me, hey, honey, we haven't even met each other. You know, if I didn't reply to
another
his text,
jackass.
You know, hey, hello.
Yeah, get with the pro. Yes. Hey, buddy, get a life. Yeah. Forget about it. And if you need to learn more about stopping the cycle of domestic violence, because I'm definitely passionate about that, check out number 29. Okay, I did 30 episodes, number 29. So this guy here, it sounds like he's on his way. If he's doing this now, okay, if you fell in love with the woman, 5 years is a long time.
And they were young, though.
They were young. Really, right? Young. She's 23 years old, 18. I mean, okay, that guy's not going to last. Yeah. So forget about it. You can't be... Well, on that note, I think we're going to just segue. And Joanna, I think our guest is here. Maybe you can go and Joanna's going to go get our guest. Carla's going to be here any minute. I see her in the studio, so she's going to come and join us. But let me give you a little background here. Carla Turan, she's an entrepreneur, designer, health and fitness expert with teaching certificates in classical Pilates and Kundalini yoga. I love that. She's a Kundalini yoga teacher. I don't have the Kundalini background, but I've taken a lot of Kundalini retreats. I love it. So we're going to talk a little bit yoga with her as well. And she also lives in LA, embraces a healthy lifestyle according to yoga principles. Love that. Love that. Hey, Carla.
Hi.
Hi. She's here now. I'm going to finish this little description of you, and then we'll get right into it. But you embrace a healthy lifestyle according to yoga principles and unconditional love and compassion. Love this. Now, she was inspired. Now, I did check out the clothes, both on the website and in person. She brought a bunch of clothes here for us to check out. They're beautiful. They really are beautiful, your
Thank
clothes.
Thank you.
Yeah, inspired to create the clothing line that reflects the divine feminine energy. I like that. She channeled during her Kundalini training in India. So I really want to hear about that. And this yoga lifestyle line, because it is sort of, you know, based on all that good energy, it reflects her love and respect for Mother Earth, with a focus on being kind to the planet, which I love. And it's good for our health, no doubt. So on that note, say hello to Fifth Dimension Clothing's founder, creator, Carla Turan.
Hi, how are you?
Awesome, how are you? Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So the clothes, I mean, first of all, they just exude elegance. When you just look at them and feel them. I mean, I'm going to say this. I was on the website. I'm going to give you my three favorite. I love that maxi dress, by the way.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I love the maxi dress. I love the cutaway cardi.
Yes.
That's super sexy. And the side inset pants. Is that what you're wearing now?
I am. I'm wearing the pleated pant, but it does have the
side
tuxedo. Yeah.
Yeah, because what's unique about these clothes, I mean, that I'm seeing, I mean, you don't have any men's clothes at the moment, huh?
I am so inspired to start a men's line.
You should.
I am, yes. And I've seen a lot of fabric that's just drawing me to create it. But we're taking it one step at a time. I definitely have a few pieces that in mind that I want to create.
I'll tell you, you need a shirt. You know what?
Yes.
Get a V-neck thing like that. Guys, when you find something you really like that's quality,
yeah.
You know, there's the Lululemons out there. There's all the things
right.
out there. But and I've worn everything. And I'm really looking for something that could be versatile, where you could put the jeans on
exactly.
and go to the club, but then you're in the yoga room feeling good.
Yeah, you can wear it for yoga as well. If you're on a pinch and you're running late, you want to hop on a...
Take the class. Yeah, there's no doubt. So tell us a little more. I love the inspiration. By the way, I saw this on your site. I'm a big fan of Ganesha. I'm a big fan. You know, the elephant-headed god, you know, removal of obstacles,
exactly.
intelligence and wisdom. It's in my film. I did a film, Boulevard Zen. You guys know that by now. But I make reference because I have a statue of Ganesha. And there's a Ganesha leather journal on your site.
Yes,
that's pretty hot.
Thank you. That's from the Around the World section.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically just pieces that I've collected throughout my travels that I just one-of-a-kind pieces that I've purchased. And I always felt like I needed to bring them home and share them with the world. And I didn't know how I was going to share them at the time when I purchased them. But mm-hmm. it's one of those things where you're just drawn to purchase them.
Sure, and then
yeah.
there's the purse. I saw there's like the different colors.
Yes.
I mean, it's really nice. Got to go to the website. It's called fifthdimensionclothing.com. Check out all the beautiful stuff. But I'm really interested about this. So you were in India. You did your Kundalini training in India.
Well, yes, I did a teacher training in Kundalini here in LA first, and then I went to India to further enhance the Kundalini training through, you know, a different teacher. And it was a very interesting experience. I went there twice, and it was to a little town called Rishikesh, and that's the Mecca of yoga pretty much. But while I was there, I felt like all of the training that I had done prior, you know, while I was doing the teacher training here in LA with very respected teachers, once I got to India, and it kind of cemented the teachings much
sure.
deeper, because you're there and you're exposed to all of the culture around it, and you understand.
You're immersed in the history,
yes,
even much greater than you are. Did you do Golden Bridge or no? I mean,
No. I do know them well, but no, I didn't do it through Golden Bridge. At the time, I was going to Yoga West, and my teacher. First teacher was Guru Jagat, who now has her own studio in Venice. It's called Rama.
Oh, yeah, I know Rama.
Yeah.
I know
Rama. I love Guru Jagat.
Right near the beach, actually. He's like a block, couple blocks or two
blocks.
Yeah,
a few blocks, yes. Yep.
Do you know Valinda down in the South Bay? She's a big Kundalini teacher. I did a retreat with her.
Did you?
Yeah, though I like Kundalini. Well, I'm trained more Vinyasa Flow, Iyengar based. But Kundalini, well, tell the little differences. Explain that to the listeners.
Well, it's different in the sense that it sort of really embodies the all of the aspects of yoga. I feel like when this was originated here in the U.S. by Yogi Bhajan, who brought the teachings to the West. So it's based, Kundalini based on his teachings. And he first opened Yoga West here in L.A. That was his first spot. And that's where I went first because it has such a beautiful energy. Mm. And it's just a beautiful, lovely community. But the teachings themselves really get you deeper into connecting with your soul. The teachings, that yoga, when it was originally started here in the West, it was sort of like watered down. So because we, at the time, were not really embracing spirituality.
Now you're talking Kundalini or all of yoga?
All of yoga,
sure.
All
it was
of yoga.
Yeah, they came here in the
40s. Yeah, I was very focused on the physical body only.
Right.
It's like, oh, I want to have a hot body or a Madonna arms or whatever. And now people are starting to embrace spirituality a lot more because we got that mind-body connection. And Kundalini takes it deeper because it's mind, body, and soul. It starts teaching you about energy, about, you know, your own inner fire, how to manage your thoughts, and how to change the neural pathways in your mind by doing these kriyas and these heavy breathing and continuous exercises.
That's what I remember. Joe, have you ever taken any yoga class? Your yoga?
Yes, I have. I had to get back into it. I could barely touch my feet.
Right, I though. Used to. Wait a minute. That's another Get Your Shit Together podcast. I used to. She's turning red over there. I'm going to embarrass you. No, but you've tried Kundalini. Kundalini's very different.
Yeah.
I mean, when I take Kundalini, you're laying on your back a lot. You're right. It's all about the inner core. And I've taken it at Golden Bridge.
Right.
And then some retreats. And sometimes you're doing two or three poses in the whole class. It's interesting.
Yes, but it's more about the continuity. Like you're trying to break the patterns in the mind.
Right.
So the kriyas tend to go from anywhere from 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or to 30 minutes or more. You know, it just depends. So yeah, you're right. Sometimes you're doing the same exercise.
Legs up in the air and doing the,
breathing.
She tells a story. You're right. She's, I've taken Tej. I mean, there's some great teachers.
Tej is my teacher.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, look at this. How about me, right? I've been all over this town. I've taken yoga with everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I've tried. But no, Kundalini is its own. But you're right. You go really deep with that. But talk about, use the word community. There's no doubt that there's big community. And then, you know, they wear the white.
Well, that's why my line was inspired by Kundalini yoga specifically. Hmm. Because when I started, I didn't know much about fabrics in terms of sustainability and why we wanted to wear natural fibers and things like that. And in Kundalini, everybody in the community wears white, especially teachers are required to wear white. Because white encompasses all those colors in the spectrum.
Right.
And so, and they emphasize a very natural, simple lifestyle where you eat, you know, organic food and you wear natural fibers that don't have any harsh chemicals. So because you start becoming super aware of your energy, you understand what, you become very sensitive, like all your taste buds enhance because of all the work you're doing.
Serious stuff. There's no doubt. It's serious stuff. She. I mean, you know, Golden Bridge's story. Yeah, the food and everything. It's just.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I mean, but with your clothes, you. I like this. You radiate elegance and warmth, and you do. I mean, the clothes are. They just feel. They feel good. I mean, just in the pictures. I mean, then I saw them here when you brought them, and they're really nice. They're fabulous. Let's talk about that. How did you you're talking about organic sustainability because it's a little confusing when it comes to clothes. So explain how that works with the, with the. Sustainability for sure.
Well, it's all part of the same principles of the lifestyles that the yogic lifestyle that we're living, especially part of this community. But I feel like as a whole, as a planet, we need to become more mindful and more aware of what we're putting on our body, not only ingesting, but also on our skin, because most people neglect the skin. They don't really consider it an organ, but it is, and it really absorbs everything in your environment, all the chemicals.
Including the clothes that are touching your skin.
Yes. Sure. And before I got into this, I didn't really, I took for granted that we have so many, so much clothes available to us. And I didn't know how much work was involved in creating one t-shirt.
Sure.
So now that I have that awareness, I realized how many chemicals go in from the point of planting the seed, the cotton seed, mm-hmm. what all the fertilization that goes into it, all the pesticides that go into it, the contamination of the water from those crops, and how many chemicals it has to go through to make it soft so that it can start, you know, becoming the clothes that we know now. So it's a huge process, and it leaves a big imprint in the planet. So that's where the sustainability comes into play. And as I started getting on this journey of doing a clothing line, I just didn't want to do a clothing line for another clothing line. I wanted to do something with
that made a difference.
Purpose. Yes,
yeah, makes a difference.
And that's basically my biggest lesson from this journey in India and through the Kundalini teachings, that I learned to live with purpose and on purpose. So now everything that I do has a consciousness behind it. So why
that's
am
a great
I
lesson.
That?
Yeah, yeah, that's a great lesson for purpose, because it, no matter what you do in life, you should have purpose, because
exactly.
If you're not, you're aimless. And
yes.
You know, and this, I like this. So what were you doing before? You said this. Now, how long have you had the company?
I just started this company last year.
Really?
It was a whole year.
Took a long time to get
To ramp up, to get to, you know, sourcing, the production, get the website going, you know, the whole thing. And we're starting small, but we have a really good team behind Fifth Dimension.
Sure.
It's really supportive, and we've been embraced really well here in L.A., and
it's a great place to start.
Yes.
Starting in L.A., because people, I will say, especially people that are conscious of the planet and themselves, they give a shit. They
exactly.
do. And it's for people who really care. And I like what you're doing with this whole sustainability, because you're right. From the planting to the pesticides, everything goes into it. Now, so when you're sourcing, and where do you get the raw materials, or
that's
can't
a
tell
secret.
Me. Ooh, she's gonna have to shoot me, Joe.
Like a magician.
She
doesn't want to tell you.
She's
secret.
Gonna kill us. If she.
No, there's more and more. There's more awareness in the world now. Even in the fashion industry, you're slowly starting to see shifts. You know that are happening. People are requiring organic fabrics. So now you have the bigger mills and some of the smaller mills as well, overseas, that are being monitored by these organizations that have strict standards regarding organic and what sustainability means. So there are some really good fabric sources out there that have a hold on that. And I was lucky enough to find a really good source that has their act together. And I have certificates from them.
They're really abiding by the organic
exactly.
principle, because I was I know a lot about organic wines, and it's similar where they have to there's biodynamic, organic, I mean there's all sorts of, and it's serious stuff, like especially I guess with the clothing, they have to have certain, you know, whatever they're getting the product or the plants from, I'm sure it goes from when the seed goes into the ground, right?
Yes.
So if you're there, so okay, you've been able to find these organic suppliers. Now you're starting small, so it's more costly. I see that. I mean, your goods are, no doubt there's quality there, but they're definitely a little pricier than you would find in the store.
Right.
Like at
well,
Walmart, which you'd never
well,
be in
yeah,
Walmart.
No.
No, you don't want to be doing that. Although, no, I like Walmart. Everybody,
yes.
Walmart's good if you want to buy toilet paper.
If I had the scale of Walmart, my prices would probably be that Walmart prices. But
right.
Yeah, no, we're definitely higher-end boutique.
Your boutique.
Yes, definitely.
I love that though.
Yeah.
That's what people are looking for. It's special. It definitely stands out. You could be, you're not only wearing it, you're more than making a statement, but you're making an individual statement. It's putting those clothes on. I see it. Feeling those clothes on your body must feel I mean, for, well, it's women now. I'm going to get to the guy shirts.
We're getting to the guys. Mm. I am very inspired. Since the very first time I brought the collection out to the Kundalini community, I saw most of the people that came to the booth were the guys. Do you have anything for us?
Telling you.
Oh, that's great.
I never even thought of you guys because I didn't think you guys were shoppers. But there's a big need
well,
for guys.
Well, and you have to understand with guys, a lot different. With women like to go to the malls, right? Yeah. You go to the mall. I mean, I met Joe, right? We took a walk over to the mall right over here just to kind of, we got here early. Yep. I like to kind of clear my mind. And there's not a lot of guys walking around that mall. No, but what guys do is they go online. And if I found a shirt that I liked, we don't want to be shopping. No, we found a place that it was quality, get to me in 3-4 days, awesome. And you're just buying it by five of them.
Yeah.
Give me five. That's another thing. I mean, colors. I understand the lighter colors, but guys, we like darker colors.
Yes, I've seen some really nice ones. I'm so inspired to do the men's line.
I'm telling you, start with a simple shirt. Yeah. Shirts are like, if you can just get out there with that, I think it's just easy. A guy will buy 5 or 10. I would. I'd buy five or 10 shirts at a time.
All right.
Yeah, no, you got to do that. Because this is, this is something that it makes a difference. And I see that. What you're doing, it makes a difference. You probably have your challenges. You're a small company or a startup, right? You have to get the word out there. It's like all this whole viral stuff. And I mean, you just need to get Emma Watson to be wearing your clothes. And then, how do you get that? You got to get a little celebrity sponsor.
Yes.
Well, that's tricky in and of itself, but it can be done. The quality's there. The fashion's there, mm-hmm. right? The elegance is there. You kind of hit all, right?
The love emanates
love. You're right. And that community is a strong, I'd say that community is a strong, well, in LA, you see it especially. I was in New York. I mean, I wasn't really familiar with Kundalini when I started. I did my teacher training in New York. This was 8 years ago. But I think it's even much stronger now because people understand what it is. And It's another avenue to travel down where you could still embrace the key yoga principles.
Exactly. And we're also targeting resorts because this first collection was inspired by nature, by the beach, and there's a lot of whites because of Kundalini. We include a lot of the upcycled fabrics to keep in with the sustainability.
Got an idea for you.
Yes.
I lived in Honolulu, right near Waikiki. Go to Waikiki. You got from Trump all the way down. You know how many resorts there are in Kalakaua? You guys know it over there, I'll tell you. Because you have people spending crazy money over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go, you ever been to Honolulu?
I haven't been to Hawaii.
You go to Waikiki. You've been there, right, Joe?
Yes. And
Maui.
You've been to Maui.
Yeah, like that kook ran into that. So get your shit together word yesterday. No, but I mean, Honolulu is a key market. First of all, it's international. It's 80%. I believe it's like 80% international market. So you're hitting the Japanese market, the American market. People come from all over.
Yeah.
They want to spend money. The shops along that main drag there are just beautiful. Fendi. I mean, everything's high end, but it's something to look into because every resort, they have their own little boutiques.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
And then maybe they can, I'm telling you, got to go to Honolulu.
I will check it out.
Well, I mean, that's a good place to start. You could start in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive, but I don't know. It's like Pretty Women. They'll be telling you to get lost. It's great. We got somebody that we're selling it for $1,000 and we're paying $100 to buy it, but no. No, your product is, so from here, it's the second year. It's really your first full year, correct?
It's my first full year, yes, now that I have the launch, you can say.
You got the launch, and now so you have an online presence,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not in any of the stores at the moment?
We have a few in Venice, at Rama specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. She's carrying
my
line.
I could see that.
Yeah. We're doing good there as well, and we're starting to do some shows. I did some trade shows earlier this month, earlier this year, and we're doing some this later this year.
Well, here's
October,
another one
November.
For you. Did you check out Equinox? Equinox has their own stores.
Yes, they do.
I could see selling.
We're
they
doing
sell.
A trunk show, actually, at Exhale Mind
yeah,
Body
Center
Spa.
Center for Sacred Music. Oh, the one in Venice?
The one in Santa Monica.
In Santa Monica. Well,
inside
there's
the Fairmont.
Oh, okay. Inside the Fairmont. Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah.
I go to the Fairmont. I love to sit there. Have meetings in the Fairmont.
Ooh,
right? That's
fancy.
Pretty cool. Yeah, no, check it out. Yeah, that's a nice place. That's
yes,
a real
it
nice
is.
Place. That's an international market. Right there, the folks that stay there. You get a lot of Australians that stay there. My friends always stay there when they come in.
Really?
Yeah.
Good
Good. No, that's a good spot. I'm thinking of that. That's a good spot. But what about the other Exhale? The Exhale
Yes, this Center is for the Sacred. First invitation that we've had from Exhale. So we're going to see how this one goes. And we're keeping our fingers crossed. So
yeah, I mean, hopefully... that's the key. If you could sort of connect with and be in 12 or 13 or 50 places at once, like the equivalent. No, that's a good place to start where they're expensive to take classes there. And, you
it's
know.
A beautiful space, too.
Oh, yeah. No, and then the Fairmont. Well, that's what you need because, like I said, your product, it's the quality, but you get what you pay for. And you know, if someone's looking to spend $8 for a T-shirt, no, you don't want that.
The thing is, it's also produced and manufactured. Like, everything is done in L.A. And also, I'm a big proponent of that to keep in with the sustainability and just leaving less carbon footprint in the planet. And also to monitor the production. You see, I mean, I didn't have any... I was pretty lucky because I live very close to downtown, so I could just drive there to the manufacturer. First of all, I know that their workers are being treated ethically. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I know who is producing my clothes, and I'm there. I mean, this is not looking right. Let's do this right. So you save so much cost, and you save so much on the... shipping and
everything,
all that stuff that is unnecessary.
So you live near downtown? Are you live in Silver Lake?
No, I live in Hancock Park.
Oh, Hancock Park.
Yeah, so it's not
too far. That's a cool little
area. Yeah.
You go. Yeah, that's a really cool area. I used to live right near there, Mid City.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that area. And on Saturdays, right? Everybody's walking on the street.
Yeah. Large
it's a very Hasidic community.
Yes, exactly.
And then nobody's driving.
Nobody drives.
And Larchmont. I used to go to Larchmont and get my coffee over there.
Yes. Right? There's so many good places on Larchmont now.
I know. Well, Cafe Gratitude.
Yes. That's my favorite.
Of course. That's where you want to sell your clothes there.
They don't have a shop. But I do.
Put a little trunk out there. You could be in that parking lot right there. Work a deal. Got a wheel and deal, Carla.
Yes, true.
Got to hustle. No, that's another thing. You have this really good, you have this yoga energy, right? And, doesn't she? She's got this sort of calm, cool, you know, and you're not, I don't see you as like a Madison Avenue hustler for fashion. You know, I lived in New York for 12 years and I know a lot of folks in that industry. So, but you're doing it all. You're watching them make the product. You're close to it. I like that. You're hands on. Yeah. And it's like with love and care. So each piece that goes out, you're not like just mass producing and just kind of pumping it out there.
Yeah. We're also, doing the blog through the website right now. We're building a lot of content to start putting some videos up there. But I really, my intention for this line was basically to bring awareness through the line so that we can give people options. But through the blog, we want to bring even more awareness of, go deeper into the why are we doing this and why organic is important.
That's great.
You know, on every level, why sustainability is important, what are the options out there, and just bring in healers, you know, spiritual people to talk about their spiritual journey and what teachings they have, because, you know, they're all tools for everybody, and the more you're aware of what's out there, the better, right? Because it just helps you, and you just see what
it's all about awareness, no matter what.
Making the world a little better place.
Exactly. Yeah. And just because I knew I went through so many books, so many healers, so many spiritual teachers, so many avenues, and I found a lot of tools that I still apply in my daily life, but you just have to find what's right for you and what clicks, and then you may go back to others. It just depends on where you are in your life and what brings true to you in that time.
Now, was yoga, let me ask you this, how did you come in? Because a lot of people come into yoga or either overcoming something or there's a reason why you're drawn to it. How were you drawn to it? How long ago was that?
I would have to say I was always into healing. I was very intuitive as a kid and I didn't know why, you know, and so I was always asking questions. And then when I got around my 20s,
was that like a couple years ago?
Sure. Yeah.
You look young too.
Sweet.
Yeah. See, anyone who's in the right, yo, no doubt that we stay young.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So that's part of the.
It is.
Yeah. The benefits. So yes, I just got into angel therapy healing. Somebody did that.
Angel therapy healing. You know, that's new to me. Tell me what that is.
Oh,
I don't know what that is.
It's the most beautiful energy. Wow.
Really?
It's, yes.
I'm learning a lot today.
I mean, I know shamanism. It's not anything to do with that.
Well, this was a lady, I haven't been able to find her since that time.
Is she a self-proclaimed angel? Is that what it is? Or
No, she's just channeling archangels and just beautiful Ganesha, Jesus Christ, Mother Mary, everything, like all the purest energy. And I went in there with, you know, just whatever. See, what I wasn't happy at the job that I had at the time, and I was trying to find my purpose in life.
Okay, there and you go. You were searching for something.
I was searching. Right. And so once I got there, I realized, I felt very different, because as soon as she did the healing, we just laid down and she, you know, told me that she had gotten a message that I needed to learn how to do this on my own, but that she was going to assist just this one time, but that my path was for me to do this on my own. And she says, normally I don't get this, because it was back in the day when, like 2000 or 1998 or something like that, when people were not into spirituality too much. And so there was a lot of hand-holding from healers and spiritual people. Right. You would go and visit them. They would basically walk you through it. They would do the work for you. And so she did a big thing for me back then. And we started channeling, and we cleared a lot of stuff. Like, blocks just fell. And
I love when that happens.
Yes.
Yeah, when you just clear. And that does happen, folks.
I felt like I was walking on a cloud. And from then on, I just felt very, very connected to archangels and to Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm...
You're Christian?
I'm Catholic.
You're Catholic.
But at that time, I wasn't really, like, really following, like, going to church and all that stuff. I was kind of walking away from all that. I was trying to find myself and trying to find my truth. And that was my first healing experience. And from then on, I started doing Pilates, and then Pilates led me to yoga. And at the time as I found Kundalini, I was going through some loss, because I had two sisters that passed away to cancer.
Really?
Yeah. And so
and young, right?
Yeah. And so that's why doing Kundalini at the beginning, I was experiencing all kinds of resistance and aberration, as you normally do when you're on the spiritual path.
Sure, you do.
Just didn't want to.
You're not ready. Not ready in the beginning, but then you start opening up slowly.
Exactly.
If you stay with it.
Exactly.
And you stay with it.
The key is to stay with it. And I didn't know that that was part of it. I didn't know that that was part of the process. And I just thought, oh, I'm not going back. I feel awful. Well, yeah, you feel awful because you're dealing with all the pain.
Exactly.
And
you're
the
digging all that up.
Yes. Yeah. And normally we repress all that stuff.
Sure. It's easier. Mm-hmm. It's easier to cover it up.
Yeah.
Right, Joe? Cover up. Don't be covering up.
I'm an open book, by the way.
You're an open book. I like that. We're going to get to know you a little better over time, I hope. I'm sure we will.
What did I do?
But we got to get her back. We got to
get
her back.
Oh, no.
Well, this is, your fitness, and you say you're the expert. I'm an expert for sure. Well, or at least in that we believe we are. Because you're committed to not only your mental health, but your physical health.
Yes.
Right. And that's, I think, exudes through the clothes, too. I mean, you definitely want to be in good shape, looking your best, right?
Yes, exactly.
Best you can.
Because it goes hand in hand with mental well-being and spiritual well-being, physically.
It's all connected.
It's all connected.
And the stronger you are with each one and how that you really kind of bond them together, I think that that's the best bet.
Yeah. It just came to a point. It comes to a point where the physical... For a long time, it was just what was the driver. No, it's like, oh, you have to be fit. You have to be fit, because that's what we were told to be, you know, like from magazines and stuff.
Well, Jack LaLanne gave us that back in the day. He was my hero.
I get that all the time from my mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think there's some good stuff here. So, hey, folks, go take a look. Fifth Dimension Clothing, right? You're going to see a lot of things you like there for sure, right? And then they could just buy them on the site.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the clothes are it's a very good site. And it feels good. The site itself exudes a nice sort of beachy energy.
Yay!
I like that. So, Carla, we at the end of every show, I ask the guests five questions.
Uh-oh.
It's called the Don't be looking. Oh, she's sitting right. Everybody likes to look at her.
She's a little nervous.
You were looking at them the whole time. No, this is fun. This is like a nice little fun, quick five questions.
Okay.
But it gives us a little insight into your who you are.
My psyche.
Your psyche. So it's just A or B. You'll see. You're going to just, you'll know.
Okay.
All right. Let's go with number one here. Chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Chocolate. I was like, don't even go.
I did too. What about you, Joe?
I am more of a vanilla person.
Really?
I really don't like sweets so much, yeah. But vanilla was
vanilla?
Nice.
How about that? I would have guessed the opposite. I would have said you would have been vanilla because of the clothing. It's like vanilla.
True.
It feels vanilla.
I'm very fiery.
No, it's good. Yeah, it's good. You're fiery. I see. Well, that's all that kundalini. Uh-huh. Get you fired up at the core. All right, number two. Well, this one I think we already know, right? Your tropical island or New York City?
Oh, tropical island.
Of course. And you have to be from Miami.
Yes. I would take – I love New York, but I would take a tropical island.
I need to kick the bricks, as Thailand. We used to say. I need that cement under my feet, I got to say.
Really?
Well, I do. I spent 3 months in Honolulu, and I couldn't really wait to move to San Francisco.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody said, oh, you got to love it. After 1 week, I was like, I'm not a big water person. I used to be, but I don't know. I'm not real big about hanging out in the ocean, and that's kind of what you do there.
Yeah.
The beaches are really beautiful. Yeah. Sandy Beach. Yeah. Well, you'll go. You'll go check it out. You're
going to
bring your clothes there, bring your trunk, cruise around. All right, number three. This one I think I already know. Ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Oh, Ancient Rome.
Ancient Rome. You got to be the Wild West over there, Joe.
Yeah.
Actually, no.
Yeah.
Ancient Rome.
Yeah. Love Ancient Rome.
I love Italy. Yeah. Everything in Italy.
Oh,
it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Yeah. I've been to Firenze, Florence.
Oh, yes.
And my friends live in Rome and
in
Italy. Oh, I'm from Sicily.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So. I haven't been to Sicily, but I've been to Rome and Florence.
And Florence. And I've been to Genoa, you know, on the Italian Riviera there.
Yeah.
Coming down. That's where Christopher Columbus was born. I don't think he went. That's not nowhere really need that you need to go. There's a lot of, talk about smells. There's a lot of fish smells in that town. All right, here we go. Number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Oh, no. Tearjerker.
Of course. I'm like, hey, what are you doing over there? What do you got?
I would say action.
Action thriller?
Yes.
I can see that too.
Yeah.
I'm all about action.
Nice.
All right. Here's our last question of the day here. We got candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Oh, that's hard.
That's hard?
Yeah.
Come on, with those beautiful clothes. Well, I guess the clothes will go
either way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
You can make the picnic
totally
in the park
either
really
way.
Nice.
And you could be sitting in a candlelight dinner with that that cardigan.
Mm-hmm.
Cardi looks like, wow, you just wait till you see that Cardi. I think you're wearing nothing underneath that Cardi, by the way, ladies. I mean, I don't want to see my woman wearing anything under that.
It's funny.
It does.
The way we modeled it for the product picture, it was non-intentional. It was just like, oh, we just wear it. We need to show it. And I've had more guys comment on that.
It's beautiful.
And they're like, oh,
you got to go
so
with
sexy.
The you got to go sexy. With the skin underneath. Got to go. Well, thanks so much for coming, Carla. Hey, Joe, nice to have you here.
Thank
you. Cool.
Hey,
good. We had some fun. And so that's our show for today, folks. You know where to learn more about me. It's richtola.com if you want to check me out on my website. And I'm Rich Tola, and remember, dreams do come true, but hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.